Hey, good morning. It's Friday, May 24th. I'm Kyle Omler with the guru, Chris Bellina, and you're listening to The Blitz. Thanks for tuning in. After today, we're on part five now of our series. Yeah, part five of our off-season player movement. And after today, we're going to be like officially like halfway through, almost into the back half already. So we've already covered quite a few of the teams. So if you guys missed all of our breakdown of each team and all the players, all the fantasy players, and how the movements are going to affect their performance, obviously, this year, go back, listen to those episodes.
Today, well, exactly.
Yeah, today.
And nothing really major's happened with any of those teams to have to update. So that's a good thing. Not much activity, so we're just kind of plugging along.
Yeah, just keep going through. We're going to keep, you know, giving you all the information that we have here and all of our opinions. Today we're going to start with the Houston Texans. They kind of lost more guys than actually gained in free agency this season.
Yeah, I mean, the last few years, I mean, they've been a Super Bowl contender. I mean, it seems like, you know, last or 2 years ago, Schaub gets hurt, killed their chances. Last year, they mired in a major slump. You know, but a lot of it had to do with their running game was Arian Foster wasn't putting, you know, top three fantasy pick value last year. So, yeah, they did lose a lot of players. You know, is this a team that's going to be going in the wrong direction this year? You know, that's something to be said. But I think I like their draft a little bit. I like their first round pick with DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, they've been searching for 4 or 5 years now to get somebody on the other side of Andre Johnson. Until they do that, they're really not going to have a lot of balance. You know, a really good passing attack. I mean, they'll have balance with the running game. The fact that they use their tight end and Owen Daniels is also becoming, you know, when healthy, a very good fantasy option at tight end. But I think this DeAndre Hopkins is really going to take a lot of pressure off of Andre Johnson, which may mean bigger numbers for Andre Johnson.
So you think this guy's actually going to be legit then? You think
that, I think,
you know, all
I
these
think
guys
got it right
that they
this time.
Keep bringing in all the time, is, you know, he's going to be the guy opposite Andre Johnson.
They had the opportunity to get Cordell Patterson. They could have gotten Robert Woods or Keenan Allen. So they went with this guy. He's you know, big. He's fast. He's got good hands. He's the most polished route runner of the group, they were saying. The reason, and that makes sense. I mean, you're a team that's going for the Super Bowl, and your window's closing. You don't have time for a guy like a Cordell Patterson, who may have a bigger upside, to develop him. You need a guy who can get right in there and take some pressure off of Andre Johnson. And by doing that, you should see bigger numbers from Arian Foster. You should see bigger numbers for Andre Johnson, in, you know, fantasy numbers, and bigger numbers from Matt Schaub, because obviously now he'll have another target in the passing game. And, you know, Schaub's a good, solid quarterback. He's a good fantasy backup, top-tier fantasy backup. But you're really not going to do a lot of damage with Matt Schaub as your starting fantasy football quarterback, in my opinion.
Yeah, unfortunately, Houston was really strapped this year on the salary cap. So,
right.
You know, they couldn't do too much. They couldn't get out there and be active and try and grab some of the top names. I mean, clearly a guy like Anquan Boldin would have been nice to add to this team, who's a season wide receiver who could, like you said, step in and play now. But they couldn't get him. They couldn't do hardly anything. They had to watch a lot of their major guy or a lot of their players walk. I wouldn't say major, but players walk. So they gotta. And I'm a little concerned about Houston, like you are, in the fact that for years they were getting better and better and better, but that, you know, they just weren't able to knock off Peyton Manning and the Colts. Right. And now he's gone, and they had their chance to kind of slide in and really do it, you know, do what they should be doing. But wow, it seems to be closing quick on them already.
Well, right, and I think they had their window. The minute they became a Super Bowl contender when they hired Phillips. Wade Phillips as their defensive coordinator. That's really what they were missing, was some defensive stability. They keep losing people on their defense. They brought in Ed Reed. They brought in Shane Leckler, probably one of the best punters in history, to hopefully help the field position battle to help their defense. But ultimately, you know, you look at the Houston Texans. Your quarterback gives you a backup, a good solid backup. If you really don't value quarterback, if you're in a league where you don't really value quarterback, and it's really no difference having a Matt Schaub or a Peyton Manning, well, you could wait and get a Matt Schaub and have some pretty good games and some pretty bad games. But the thing is with, you know, Arian Foster, he gets to 1 yard and plunges. You know, so you're not going to get 35 touchdowns out of Schaub when you have Arian Foster. Andre Johnson, you know, if you get him some help, I think his numbers will increase, not decrease, by having a good number two receiver. The one who may get hurt out is that if they get a good number two is Owen Daniels. But I still look at Owen Daniels as a top 10 tight end, if healthy. So there's some definite fantasy options with the Houston offense.
Well, this is actually a very stable, very boring discussion here about Houston. Not a lot changed on the offensive playmaker side, fantasy-wise. You know, they still got their quarterback. They still got their running backs. They still got everything. So, I mean, there isn't a whole lot to talk about or to take away from them this offseason, which is, you know, good, obviously, if you're
right.
An owner of one of these guys. Except for maybe the fact that if you're in the Dynasty League, you're looking at Hopkins, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
yeah,
Hopkins. Yeah, he's somebody who do you think he'll have a whole lot of value even this season, or is it just mostly Dynasty?
I think of the wide receivers, I would say he has the potential to be the most productive. I know, you know, Tavon Austin went a lot earlier with St. Louis, but I think the fact of his polish and his route running, I think he has and the offense around him where he doesn't have to come in right away and be the guy like you're going to expect out of Tavon Austin. He's supposed to come out there and be a pressure, you know, relieve some pressure off of Andre Johnson, or help open up the running game a little bit. So him being able to make some plays is going to make him probably of all the rookie wide receivers, and receivers always have the biggest struggle coming into the league. So in a standard redraft league, I look for Hopkins not to be drafted. If he is drafted, it's going to be late in the round. But if you're in a dynasty league and you have a rookie draft, I could see him going in the top 10.
Yeah, I agree. Again, you cannot underestimate the value of getting on a team that's already stable. You got yourself a quarterback. You have a
stable quarterback.
Game. Yeah, quarterback and a running game, too.
You know, right.
To help you out. And he does have a guy opposite him that can take it away. So give him a little bit of time. This is kind of like Reggie Wayne when he came into the league.
Yep.
You know, Marvin Harrison was already there. Edrin James, Peyton Manning, you know, all these guys were there for him. So Wayne, he comes in. Did he explode right away? No, he didn't.
No.
But he's, you know, you saw what happened to him, obviously. Yep. He became, you know, the man later on. So who knows? You know, maybe he has a skill set, this guy, Hopkins. He can come in and he could be Reggie Wayne someday.
Right.
Never know.
And you know, and you know, groomed to be a number one.
He's groomed to be. I mean, he honestly, this entrance is, that's why I said Reggie Wayne, is so similar to this situation. There was already an established stud there, running back, quarterback, all set. He's coming in. You know, even the tight end was about the same.
Yeah.
If you look at who the tight end was in Owen Daniels. Owen Daniels is, you know, Dallas Clark is very similar, you know, very, you know, nothing too different. So he could someday, with his skill set and in the situation, be explosive, just not this year. He, you know, again, there's too many mouths to feed there, I think, this year. So
Right. I agree. So it's going to be interesting to see. I still think they're the team to beat in their division. And, you know, there's some fantasy value there. Andre Johnson's a top, you know, maybe, you know, 15 pick overall. Owen Daniels, a top 10 tight end. And you're going to see Arian Foster go, you know, 1, 2, or 3 in just about every league.
Well, we were just talking about Houston's opportunity falling down because the Colts, they're already coming back again.
Wow.
And they went and they get Andrew Luck. Again, they're the team that has been one of the few franchises in the history of the league that have been lucky enough to keep just reloading, obviously, with these franchise quarterbacks. But there might be a new starting running back in town.
Vic Ballard. You know, I mean, they went out and they continues to surround Andrew Luck with players. Darius Haywood Bay. I mean, this is a speedster. Again,
I agree. He could find a really nice home in Indianapolis.
Well, and the reason I say this, you know, it's not going to be crazy to think this guy, you know, started to show some signs of production with, you know, poor quarterback play, and then Carson Palmer, and then he got hurt last year. I mean, the guy was a number one pick overall. Again, the Raiders took him number one overall. Doesn't mean that he was a number one pick, but, you know, he's going to a stable organization with a stable quarterback who's a leader, decent running game, and they got three running backs who can probably all put up the same numbers. Nothing spectacular, nothing fantasy valued with Vic Ballard or Donald Brown or Delone Carter, but you know, they're going to have a running game, but you still have Reggie Wayne. You still have the emergence of T.Y. Hilton. So right. You put, you know, Darius Hayward-Bailey isn't the main guy. Like, he had to be in Oakland. He could just be one of the guys.
Yeah, all the pressure's off of him now.
Well, exactly. Yeah, they have two solid tight ends, Dwayne Allen and Kobe Fleener. I mean, if you're a Colts fan, you know, you have to figure out, you know, what you've done to be blessed. You're going to have 2.5 decades of solid quarterback play, which means for 2.5 decades of football, you're going to have that many years of potential playoffs.
It's really kind of unfair. It is.
It really is.
Look at Cleveland. They've had 0 decades. I mean,
well, I try and look back and look at some of the teams that have had it. I mean, every team's had a lull from their superstar quarterback. Look at Dallas since Aikman left.
Yes.
Look at Pittsburgh since Bradshaw left. I mean, it took them how long? I mean, Neil O'Donnell was serviceable, got them to a Super Bowl, but, you know, until Big Ben came. Denver took them how many years after Elway left? And Marino, they're still looking for the replacement out there.
Yeah.
New England had a pretty good run. We went figure from 94 till now from Bledsoe. So you figure that's 20 years of 93. So this is going to be the 20th year of good quarterback play in New England. Packers are one. They're going to have 2 Hall of Fame quarterbacks back to back, which it doesn't happen. Indianapolis Colts are going to be that lucky. And I think Andrew Luck is going to be a top 10 quarterback in your redraft leagues. If you were lucky enough to get him in a keeper league or a dynasty league, you're going to be set at quarterback for 5 to 10 years in your league. There's going to be production out of the wide receivers. I think Reggie Wayne will still be productive.
Absolutely.
He'll go into top 4 rounds. I think T.Y. Hilton, you know, I always get nervous with wide receivers who had a good rookie year, their second year. If you look at the guy from
Tampa Bay, are you thinking
Tampa
of him?
Bay.
I knew you were going with that guy. Michael Clayton.
Michael Clayton, the one who was with Carolina the one year, had a big year, did nothing his second year. There was another Baltimore who just retired, Clayton.
Mark Clayton.
I always get worried about rookies who had a good productive first year, their second year. And, you know, it's Mark Clayton disease, or not Mark Clayton, Michael Clayton disease is what I call it.
I guess it's just Clayton disease, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Both
the Clayton curse or something, you know?
And I think Darius Hayward-Bey coming in is going to hurt T.Y. Hilton. So in a redraft league, you see him going 12th to 15th round. I think Darius Hayward-Bey is going to not be drafted in a lot of leagues. He's going to be an early season waiver wire pickup. And then tight ends, I mean, Dwayne Allen, Kobe Fleener will be somebody's second or third tight end in the draft. Maybe moving up on a depth chart based on performance as the season progresses. But nobody's going into a season with Dwayne Allen or Kobe Fleener as their number one tight end with the plethora of tight ends out there. So Andrew Luck is going to be somebody's starting quarterback this year. Their running game, you're not going to see your fourth or fifth running back, maybe one of the Colts running backs.
I wanted to go back to Vic Ballard.
Okay.
Is he even worth? I mean, it was just going to be a running back by committee, and you know, you can't count on any of them anyway. 12-team redraft.
12-team redraft league, he's going to be somebody's fourth or fifth running back.
Yeah, see, that's almost not even worth having, is it?
And Donald Brown, same thing. They'll go within the same couple of rounds because Donald Brown is more of a brand name. He's been around longer. He's entrenched in people's minds.
Do you think Ballard's going to have the better season, and by how much, really? Is it going to be negligible?
You're looking at both of them being, if they're both healthy and they run the way they're going to run the ball, you're going to see both around 600-700 yards, and about 2-3 touchdowns apiece.
That's what I was afraid of. That's exactly what I had thought, and you know, it hurts me to hear you confirm those same thoughts. You know, 600-700 yards, that's really not – I mean, it's going to find very hard to put either of those guys in your starting lineup ever.
Well, the problem is now with the way the NFL is with running back by committee, it's you only have 5 to 7 running backs you can count on for 1,210.
Yeah.
I mean, all the rest are going to be 600-700 yards and 3 or 4 touchdowns.
Well, which one of these guys catches better then?
Donald Brown catches the ball better out of the backfield.
So if he's catching the ball better out of the backfield, then do we lean automatically towards him?
You got, you know, this is a situation when you have three to choose from, you have none. So I would say look at other options. I'd rather grab a rookie out of this rookie class and hope.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time finding a worse backfield to diagnose and say, wow.
Was it any worse than Carolina's? Who do you play?
Yeah, Carolina's horrible, obviously. You know,
and the thing there is they both have the potential to be 1,000-yard rushers and five to eight touchdowns. Yeah. And you still don't know who to play because the week you play D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart may be the guy who gets
it. But you're looking at this team and saying they're just as bad as them. You know, there's a handful of teams that are just this bad, and that's not something you want to say.
With the other weapons they have, you know what? I mean, it's – you know, if they had a solid guy who could tote the rock and he's the main guy, this team would be off the charts dangerous on offense with Andrew Luck. That guy played like an 8-year veteran last year.
He looked amazing.
I mean, he was unbelievable. I would have to say, and I've been watching football since I was seven, so you're talking, you know, 36 years, 35 years of watching NFL football. He... the best rookie quarterback I've ever seen.
Yeah. And then they just go into the draft and they're going to protect this asset, obviously. We're going to make sure that Andrew Luck stays upright.
Well, right. And they also signed Gosder Charlis away from, I believe he was with the Saints. So, or was he with Houston? He's an offensive lineman that they brought in. You know, definite upgrade there. You have to protect them. And I just think this is a team that, barring an injury to their quarterback, is going to be in the playoffs. There's no, I mean, unless their defense just plays horrendous, but they put a lot of money, LaRon Landry and Eric Walden and Obreu Franklin and Greg Toler. And, you know, they really went out and they got, you know, some defensive help. No superstars, but, you know, depth, you know, this team could do some damage. Again, it's a quarterback-driven league, and they got a pretty darn good one.
One more thing. T.Y. Hilton again. How do you feel about him? Obviously, you're scared, but
I am.
Where do you take him? What round would you feel comfortable taking this
12-team
guy?
12-team redraft league, you're going to see him round 10 or
okay.
lower.
10? If somebody's crazy enough to take him 7, you're like, have him. You can have him then, right?
Yeah, I would think so because there's so many wide receivers, so many other options. I would take you know, someone like an Emmanuel Sanders over him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would take, you know, definitely like a Miles Austin who's, you know, you don't know what he's going to do. I would look at...
much better about Miles Austin. I mean, his whole thing was injury, but he could easily bounce back this year if he's got the right kind of therapy in the offseason.
Right. I would take an Danny Amendola from New England.
Amadeus, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, if I could say his name. Because of the higher upside, going with a new team, does he put up well?
Yeah, Amendola, absolutely. He's a guy who's going to catch a bunch of balls. At least that's what they're claiming. They brought him in from Wes Welker. But anyway, I just wanted to see what round T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, I would say, you know, somebody,
no sooner than the 10th round. Don't take this. Don't go crazy.
I wouldn't.
He did have a good rookie season, so there's going to be some people out there that
now, let me also put an asterisk next to it. If you're in a league where you get points for return yards,
aha,
moves his value up a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. I agree. So we go from this team, up and coming, you know, seem to be doing everything right team, to a team who can't find their quarterback, doesn't know what they're doing, passed on quarterback after quarterback after quarterback, and then kept, you know, their status quo, and we're gonna go ahead and keep Blaine Gabbert, apparently, as our starting quarterback, the Jaguars.
Well, I think at some point it's going to be Chad Henne again. And they're working themselves right to a top 5 pick next year.
Yeah, they are.
Maybe top pick overall. I look at this team as the worst, maybe next to the Jets, the worst team in the NFL.
I don't think you're going to get a lot of arguments for that either. So.
But there are some people on this team that are going to get drafted.
Well, of course.
You know, I mean, number one, I mean, nobody's going to take Gabbert or Henne. Maybe no. Henne if he's – if you have a late year draft, you know, maybe the last week in August, and it's Henne's the starter, someone may take him based on some of the games that he had last year and keep their fingers crossed. But, you know, based on the fact he's a brand name, Maurice Jones-Drew is going to get drafted.
These two guys aren't even probably on – shouldn't even be on dynasty rosters at this point in time.
No,
that's
I agree.
Pretty bad.
I agree. But, you know, there's going to be a time where, I mean, you think about it, last year, Chad Henne was picked up on waivers in just about every league.
Of course.
He had some productive games with the same cast of characters around them. He's going to have Maurice Jones-Drew potentially healthy this year. Now, that's an enigma. Where do you draft Maurice Jones-Drew? I think he's someone who's going to take the dive like Marshall Faulk took, where he just injuries and production. And
well,
he went from
the only guy on that team. I mean, how much beating can the one person take?
Well, right. I could see him dropping from what he was probably a first or second round in most leagues last year to probably fourth or fifth round. And that's a risk pick. I could probably name 10 other running backs I'd rather take. With less
fourth
risk.
Or fifth round on him, really.
It's a drop. Yeah. I mean, you're not taking him in the third round. I'd be shocked if anybody did.
I can see people taking him in the third.
Yeah, because, again, the brand name. Oh, I'm getting a steal at, you know, this guy. I mean, you know, look how far down Adrian Peterson went last year off an injury. And now you're talking Maurice Jones-Drew, no good quarterback. You got, you know, Justin Blackmon with a potential suspension. Cecil Shorts. Was he a flash in the pan, or is he going to have some significant value?
Well, I will say this, too, about their wide receivers. They had nothing before. Then all of a sudden last year, nice surprise, Cecil Shorts. You know, they drafted Blackmon. So there's kind of a glimmer of hope there at the wide receiver position, at least.
Mercedes Lewis is – you thought he was putting it together last year. He's just a mess. But he'll get drafted because, again, people know the name. If you're looking for a backup tight end, you know, you're going to pick him. But, you know, personally, Cecil Shorts, I wouldn't draft him.
Well, because of the quarterbacks.
Because of the quarterbacks, and I got to see more of it. I'm not going to – his production last year makes him worthy of a top 15 to 20 wide receiver based on what he did last year. But there's so much uncertainty with this team. He has such a short track record. Somebody's going to get caught up taking him and be very disappointed when they look at all the other people they could have had in place of him when they did their draft. To me, I stay away from Cecil Shorts. I won't touch him with a 10-foot pole.
Well, see, and that's your philosophy. My philosophy is very similar to yours, and that is make sure you get low floor. I don't know how to say it exactly, but make sure that your bust potential on your first 3-4 picks is very low. Okay?
Well, right.
That's how you're going to win your league, obviously. You get your guys that, you know, you don't go crazy in the first, second, third round on somebody who's going to have high bust potential. Early rounds, make sure they're healthy people. Right. That's the big thing. Obviously, Cecil Shorts would never be in the first 3 rounds, but deal. It's the same kind of deal, though. You're saying, look, I'd rather have this guy because maybe his ceiling isn't as high, but his floor isn't as low as Cecil Shorts either.
Well, that's a great point, Kyle. And that's my philosophy also. I want no-brainers in my top. My first 5 picks are my top 5 starters. They have to be no-brainer. If I'm sitting there pick 9 out of a 12 league and I say I want to go wide receiver and Dez Bryant's sitting there, as is Andre Johnson, I'm taking Andre Johnson.
Andre Johnson, absolutely.
You want to know why? I mean, already got the injury potential, but Dez Bryant did it for 8 games.
Right.
Andre Johnson's done it for 8 years.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not taking Mike Wallace over Anquan Boldin. Why? New team, uncertain quarterback. Everyone's saying, oh, this is the number one guy. He's going to be blah, 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 blah. Why receivers in general don't do well on a new team, you know, and now you're taking a guy who's a little bit of a mental case with an unstable quarterback, and it's uncertainty. You don't want uncertainty in your top 5 picks. If Wallace is in round 6, you may want to grab him as your number 3 wide receiver. You gotta go with no brainers. You gotta get off of the trendy player, and you have to pick guys who are gonna go in, and you know, barring injury, because no one has a crystal ball, no one knows he's gonna get hurt, that they're gonna put up production.
Right, and that's where Cecil Shorts falls, and that's where Justin Blackmon falls. Both those guys are
and Maurice Jones-Drew because of injuries.
Yeah, they have low, very, very low bottom floor. They could completely drop out of everything.
Right.
You know, all it takes is some more horrendous quarterback play, and that means Blackman's not getting the ball. Of course, that means Cecil Shorts isn't getting the ball, and Maurice Jones-Drew is going to be seeing 9-man fronts. So it could get ugly real fast there, and You don't want to be really, you don't want to be any part of that. You want to be as far away from that situation you don't want to, as you can.
If you're serious about winning your league, you need to stay away from Jacksonville Jaguars this year.
Absolutely.
I'm looking at this roster saying, I don't see anybody I would take in the first 10 rounds.
What about their draft? Did they do anything in the draft worth noting?
Well, they did. They got potentially the best offensive lineman in the draft. So, Blaine Gabbert did run for his life a lot.
Yes.
Factor in no real running game with Jones-Drew being hurt and his receivers being, iffy at best. I don't think, it's going to make that big of a difference. But
what about Denard Robinson?
Yeah. I mean, well, that's the other thing, too. I could see him in a – if you're in a keeper league or dynasty league, you draft him.
Really?
And I would draft because I could see him being in the slash role like Cordell Stewart was. Now, and then eventually working himself into a...
I don't think he'll ever be a quarterback.
But working his way into a skill position and be a starter.
So more like a Randall L.
Yeah. And not so much fantasy, but you think about it. I mean, with all the injuries and everything, I mean, I would take in a dynasty league, I would take him and sit on him and see what happens.
Yeah.
Rather than kick yourself by taking somebody else who, maybe didn't have as high. He's got high upside. Not so much for redraft leagues. I'd stay far away from him. But, in a dynasty league or keeper league or rookie league where you keep your rookies, he's worth a shot. I'd stay away from everybody else.
I think he would have to be pretty deep still in Dynasty to take a chance on him. But I will say that if Jacksonville gets a Randall L out of this guy, oh, man, they've got to be extremely happy.
I think they're going to get more of a Cordell Stewart like his rookie year than Randall L.
Well, that's good, too.
Yeah, that's
anything
what I'm saying.
Anything like that is good, obviously.
Right, I agree.
Randall L. or Cordell Stewart, those are very high praise if he even turns into either one of those guys in the NFL level.
For football, but for fantasy, neither one of them are very good.
Yeah, fantasy, you could never put those guys in the lineup anyway. But yes, for the team, it's great for Jacksonville fans to have a player like that on your team.
Right. Think they go for Tebow?
No.
No?
Wouldn't they have already done it by now?
Just to put people in the seats?
Ugh.
It's a team that gets blacked out every game.
I guess. If they do that, boy, then...
Well, I mean, it's not like you're putting them in. You're sitting behind, a quarterback that you're really worried about hurting his feelings. I mean, seriously, you don't know. The guy can win. He went to the worst possible organization you can go to in Pittsburgh or New York from Denver. I mean, would it really be that bad of a thing to give this guy at least an invite to training camp?
I would think so. Because you're right, the Jacksonville quarterback situation is horrendous. Give him a try. If anything, he's got great leadership skills.
He seems
to always bring everybody up around him.
Right.
If he's not the quarterback physically to be able to bring everybody up around him, somehow he emotionally brings everybody up. So if he can get everybody's level of play to jump up a couple notches, all of a sudden this team isn't all the way in the basement. They're maybe on the first floor. So they could actually win a couple games. Who knows?
I was going to say, he may play them out of first pick overall.
Yeah, that's true. You don't want to do that. Maybe that's their whole plan all around. Exactly.
I know.
Hey, you know what? You guys can follow us on Twitter, Fantasy Blitz. We'll tweet some stuff from time to time about some player movements, some injuries about, this guy in San Francisco apparently got hurt. That was a big deal to a lot of people. That kind of stuff is what I'll tweet out. I'm not going to tweet out a bunch of rumors or anything boring like that. But that's going to wrap it up for today's show. Make sure you tune in to us next week for Chris Bellina. I'm Kyle Omler, and this has been The Blitz.
Have a good one.